Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to Rogue Cell Radio. This is Sean Johnson. I am an Army veteran, served from 2006 to 2012. I was stationed out of Fort Polk, Louisiana, and did three tours of service, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. Today's radio show, we will be chatting with Brad Peitzik.
Hey, guys.
Brad is an Army veteran. Tell us a little bit about your service and what you did.
Oh, man. I served for about 10 years as a combat engineer. And then after that, I served for about five more as a mathematician. Had a couple of fun adventures in Iraq. And beyond that, I'm happy to be here and talking with you today, Sean.
I'm happy you're here, too. I'm really excited. And I understand you just had a book that came out.
It's called Dragon's Current.
Dragon's Current, The Storm That Stayed Inside, a memoir by Brad Peitzik.
It is. It's been a five-year project of mine.
5 years. So what stirred you to want to write this memoir?
I'll tell you how it started.
Yeah.
It started with a therapist telling me I need to start writing to seek some healing. Started writing more and more, and I found myself thinking that, you know, if this helps me so much, maybe it can help somebody else. So I wrote this book with the idea, I should say, I wrote the first draft with the idea of telling my whole story from where this starts until right now is going to help me. But all the other drafts and all the other editing came from, I need to get this story out to other people.
Certainly.
I think.
Absolutely.
As
you
my,
know, that's one of those things that as we get out of the service, there's a lot of things that veterans deal with after they get out. And there's the loss of camaraderie, loss of brotherhood, sisterhood, and, you know, so I love that you're willing to share your story here, and if it can benefit anybody or, you know.
If there's anything I've learned with Rogue Cell is that telling stories can save lives, and I'm not suggesting that my story is going to save someone's life, but maybe people can feel a little bit less alone, because even though I was married with a family, I felt completely discarded, completely alone. Mm-hmm. And things like this, things like the discussions that we have on Rogue Cell all the time, I think that makes people feel a little bit less alone. And that's what I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. We touched base a little bit. You mentioned Rogue Cell and being a part of it.
I've heard of it before.
this weekend, there's an event going on.
There is. We are showing the documentary to the public for the first time since our official release at the Liberty. And that's going to be at the Coliseum in Tillamook.
The Coliseum in Tillamook.
Yep, that's the Coliseum Theater. We're going to show it at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. And between times, there's going to be, I understand the VSO is bringing some food out. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a great event.
So for those that weren't able to make it on Veterans Day to Liberty Theater to see the documentary, Battlegrounds and Backroads will be showing in Tillamook 1 and 5 o'clock p.m. So as far as if people wish to attend, you mentioned it's going to be at the Coliseum. Will there be vendors, or kind of like the grand opening, will there be any other organizations present?
Well, we, Max Sherman and us sprained it on the VSO with not a lot of time. So not you, but other Sean will be there, and I will be there.
That's right. And, I'm going to be gone. I'm Rogue Cell is going to be participating in the Astoria Crab Seafood and Wine Festival.
Oh my gosh, there's so many cool events coming
there
up.
There are lots of events
it's
going on.
It's a busy weekend.
It certainly is. So I'll be there while you both are down in Tillamook and sharing the documentary. Something else that's happening this weekend is at the American Legion, Post 12 here in Astoria, there will be a showing, not a showing, but actually rather a comedy show, and that will be on Friday, April 24th. That is 1132 Exchange Street, 8 o'clock p.m. This is adults only, 21 and over.
It's the American Legion. That's a big blue building, right?
Absolutely.
Right in the middle of downtown.
Just got a new rooftop. So nice. Far, we have no leaks. But the American Legion Post 12 is presenting a comedy hour with comedian Rio Hillman. Rio was born in Chicago and raised in Wisconsin. He arrived on the comedy scene about a decade ago. And with his Midwestern charm and his likely... he brings the audience into this world punchline by punchline. Once again, that showing will be Friday, April 24th, the American Legion Post. Going back to your book, this is your first book that you have published.
I would like to say this is my first book, mm-hmm. and it's also my last book. I'm going to keep writing, but there is... no way I'm doing this again. This is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah. It's one thing that I've been told, and I've utilized writing in my therapy and in my counselings that I've gone through, and it does certainly help. But I've never, ever even fathomed the idea of writing a book. I wouldn't even know how to start that process.
Well, I started with a book that was, after I decided to transition to writing the memoir, I transitioned to a book that was something to the effect of 90 days to fast draft your memoir, and it worked really well for me.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a little gathering coming up soon.
Oh my gosh, why didn't we lead with that? Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a Breakside on Thursday the 30th. And that is from 5 to 8 p.m. Basically, it's an informal event. I'll read at 6 or so and 7 or so, and there will be some books there. I'm excited, and I'm also nervous to share this with the public because there's a lot of things that are in here that I've told very few people of, and it's kind of out there in the world.
Very personal.
It gets very personal. And, you know, should I just read the back?
Certainly.
Let me read the back. I'm getting nervous sitting here.
So we're here every last Thursday of the month. We are on from 9 to 9:30, Rogue Cell Radio. Feel free to reach out to any of us, and let's get your stories recorded. If you're a veteran, a spouse of a veteran, a child, a brother, a sister... let's record your story.
Or just somebody that cares.
Just somebody that cares. If yeah. you know something, you know.
But, okay, I was about to read the back of this book because these words are much more rehearsed than me talking about it. So, Dragon's Current is not a war memoir. It's the story of what came after and what stayed. Brad Peitzik, that's me, served 15 years in the U.S. Army, moving across the globe while carrying something he couldn't name, the current inside him, electric, relentless, would eventually be diagnosed as schizoaffective disorder. It ended his career, but not his search for understanding. This memoir traces the slow fracturing of identity, the confusion of undiagnosed symptoms, and the quiet devastation of trying to hold a life together while everything internal shifts. With clarity and unflinching honesty, Peitzik examines the forces that shaped him, the systems that failed him, and the long, difficult work of learning to live with a mind that doesn't always cooperate. Dragon's Current is a story of survival, diagnosis, and the storm that stayed inside. This is the first copy that I've held of this, and that's the first time I've read out loud off of any of this final thing. And
how's that make you feel?
My hands are shaking. That's that feels like a moment. I'm really glad to be sitting here with you, Sean, and discussing that.
I'm really happy to be here with you as well, and to see your accomplishment. I know this was a lot of work. I know there was a lot of struggle, trials, tribulations that you've gone through in order to get this book published, this memoir. And as you said earlier, it's very personal. You became very vulnerable, but that speaks volumes about who you are and also what the mission of Rogue Cell is all about. Rogue Cell is here to get veterans to share their stories and to help each other to get through some of those hard times. And so your book, if it gets out there, and like you say, you can at least touch one person, make a difference, it's worth it. So
this, and to reel it back from the big noble, you guys can't see, but I'm holding my hands above my head, the big noble gestures and statements like that. My original goal to find a lot of healing and acceptance of my own story and my own condition, I got that. And that's enough. I would love to hear from anybody. I even put my email address in here, I think. I sure put it in there, no, it's in there. I forgot I made a special email for that. I better check it.
Special email.
So this book, if I'm going to talk about it, I have to thank some very specific people in here. And it's a very extensive list, but some of the people that I absolutely need to mention are my wife, April. Mm-hmm. She not just gave me feedback on me reading the same chapters over and over and helping me edit, but she also gave all of the necessary pep talks on this entire project. And there's absolutely no way this would have happened. And there is no way I could live the life that I do today without her. She's fantastic. My sons, they both had a little bit of time with me not there with my mental illnesses, with my mental illness as they were growing up. And acceptance and their love is something that I don't take for granted. No one has been... Outside of who I just mentioned there, no one else has been through as much of this as Sean Davis, my partner with Rogue Cell, along with Sean Johnson. And thank you. And then beyond that, there's just so many people. I had beta readers.
And for those tuning in, this is Rogue Cell Radio. I am here with Brad Peitzik. And we are chatting a little bit about his book. And if you or a friend are ever struggling, remember there are people available to chat with.
Oh, my gosh.
There is,
yes,
the Veterans Crisis Line. Dial 988 and select option 1. Once again, Veterans Crisis Line, can call.
You can somebody's text it, there too.
So now that you've written your book, and you now have the premiere release party that'll be coming up on Thursday the 30th.
Yeah,
at Breakside.
See people there, and
you're gonna have books available there, right?
There will be some there. I ordered some author copies. Mm-hmm. And
Brad, you served in the Army, and you were a combat engineer.
Yeah.
What is one of your most memorable memories of being a combat engineer? You were an officer.
I was.
So I'm sure you have different stories than Sean and I could share.
I bet I have some pretty similar ones in a lot of ways, but I'll go with my what I consider my biggest accomplishment is two squads were assigned from my platoon to go out to the Tigris River, and we built all of the launching platforms and then taught Marines how to assemble this particular bridge, because they were trained on lots of other bridges, but not this one. And one of my squad leaders was trained on how to do it. So we all got together and we built what, according to the manufacturer of the bridge, they said this was the longest floating military bridge that had ever been built by the United States Army. And with the Marines, I should say there was a whole company of Marines, and there was just two squads and the platoon leader that really wanted to go on this mission, which was me. And so the credit goes to the Marines for this mostly. But I like to think that bridge wouldn't have gone up without our help. But one of the coolest things I got to do was I got to go out onto the middle of the bridge, which, I mean, it's a prefabricated bridge. It's like a this kit that I had when I was a kid. It was called an erector set.
Erector set, yeah.
Yeah. And it was basically like that, where all the pieces just fit together and you slap in some bolts, and then it went from barge to barge to barge. And I believe it was an exciting number. It was a prime number. There was either 13 or 17 of them, of the barges. So it was a lot of fun. But I got to do a reenlistment for one of my soldiers at the very middle of the bridge, which was a really awesome moment. And then I also had the honor of being present while the mayors of the villages that were the closest to it on both sides shook hands.
Can you tell me about the other bridge?
Oh my gosh. So the bridge that was already there was a, it's been a long time since I've done this, a ribbon bridge.
A ribbon bridge.
Yeah, so if you remember, you saw a lot of these historically in the U.S. Army. These are folded up barges that are on the back of trucks.
Right.
And we dump them right into the river, and then you can put them together to make what's considered to be a temporary bridge. So I don't know how old this ribbon bridge was, but it was at the end of its useful lifespan. And we were watching, because as we were building the other bridge right next to it, we were watching constant vehicle traffic on it. Some of it local, a lot of it military. And one of the sections near the bank kept bending further and further down, to the point to where some vehicles were pushing it almost down to the water level, with the lowest point between the two, because they're just connected by pins, basically. And then there was a HET, which is a heavy equipment trailer, tractor trailer. I don't know how many T's there are, with an M1 tank on it, followed by another HET with a tank on it. And we watched the first one barely make it through. I mean, that HET was all the way down. It's rear. There's a whole bunch of tires on these. The first one made it through. The second one, the barges go all the way down, and you can see that one side stops because it must have hit the bank, and the one behind it, further into the water, just kept going. So it broke with the HET trailer, the semi truck tractor that was pulling it, and the M1 on the back. And everything just started sliding back down into the river. So it stopped a little bit, and everybody got out. This isn't a sad story. Everybody got out, no problem. They used the M1 to pull the trailer with the other M1 on the back of it out. If I remember right, that's...
watching M1 Abrams to pull a...
They recovered everything.
A het and another M1. My goodness.
So that's good.
I looked it up. The head heavy equipment transporter made by Oshkosh.
Oh, I was close.
The M1070 model is a U.S. Army logistics vehicle designed to transport, deploy, and evacuate heavy armored vehicles. Most notably, the 60-ton M1 Abrams tank, powered by a 700-horsepower Caterpillar C18 engine.
I just want to know how many tires it
has. And operates as an 8x8 tractor. So, there you go. 8x8.
8x8. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's 64.
You're the mathematician, so...
No one can do that math. That's my way. We got time for more stories?
We sure do.
Okay.
There's always time for more stories.
I have,
just like there's more time for Jell-O.
I have two stories to tell about my story.
Mm-hmm.
So there I was in Iraq building a bridge. That's how my best stories start, supposedly. But we were working on this bridge, and... We were watching the Marines and assemble one of the barges, and my squad leader, they sent two squads, and one of the experts was the squad leader that I had. And he was not pleased that I was there because he wanted it to be his mission, but I let him run his mission. But he was complaining about that, and... trying to have a discussion on it, and we look out and there's a Marine working on, and I love Marines. It was fantastic working with them on this project, and I am in awe. This Marine in particular, I'm guessing, is the one that was a handful with the operation that they had, because we see him look at his wrench and he shakes his head and just takes it, chucks it into the river. And I don't know how it is with the Marines, but in the Army, someone's going to pay for that wrench. But even one little mistake on something like that, and you can end up with a tank in the bottom of the river. Or worse than that, the truck that's pulling it on the trailer into the water with its soldiers, because drowning in theater was a real thing. And, I mean, people have what's essentially weights strapped to them as soldiers. You hit the water, if you don't get out of your vest, that's that. So, I know that bridge isn't there anymore because I've seen the satellite photos. There's an actual, because that also is a temporary bridge. I'm glad it was not there anymore.
So, I think there's one question on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Who jumped in to go get the wrench?
No one jumped in for the wrench, but...
Yeah.
I swear I didn't prod Sean to ask this question this way. So, there we were at the bridge in Iraq, and the Marines were all out there with their boats moving these large barges around, pulling them up with ropes. Well, rope snapped on one bridge that was connecting to a boat, and this bridge starts floating down the river. Well, one of the Marines, I won't, just like no time flat, was just out of all of his clothes, but he was wearing this little tiny black swimsuit underneath his uniform. He's the one that jumped in the river, and he was going to save this barge that would be measured in tons. It was hilarious, and it makes for a good story. That was the only true joint thing that I ever did with, and to the civilians listening, joint means between different branches of service. That was outside of an exercise. That's the only time I did any joint operation. And that was amazing to see the Marines. They impressed me a lot with everything there. I can't believe how fast they built a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Marines.
Semper Fi.
That's right.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. So let's see. Sean Johnson, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
You just came back from a pretty interesting trip up, are we going to say north or northeast? Let's say northeast.
I suppose you could call it northeast. Yeah, I was up in Yakima all week, and in a way, it was a training opportunity for me, but a vacation for Bandit, my dog. This was a training opportunity for me going up to Washington and a vacation for Bandit. Bandit stayed at home with his grandma and only had short walks, didn't receive any training all week long. But
begging strips.
Yeah. I went to Yakima to Sella and met up with several historian friends of mine. And we will be going to Montana in June. So June is going to be the 150th anniversary of the Little Bighorn.
That's in Rosebud,
1876,
right?
In the Rosebud, near the Yellowstone of Montana. General George Armstrong Custer didn't end well for him.
It didn't.
Nope. And so what we're doing is in June, I was invited to go back and help be a part of the 150th anniversary. So this last week I was up in Yakima training, riding, and testing out to ride horses and to shoot firearms on the horse. This is a yearly training that we do for our Civil War reenacting.
Oh, it's reenactment.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to Yakima and it was a great, great time.
Because I think we already mentioned it. You were a Cav guy.
I am. I was a Cav scout.
This had to have been really meaningful to you.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Together with Veterans Northwest Oregon or the Oregon Firearm Safety Coalition or the Department of Veterans Affairs. You can find us at roguecell.vet or facebook.com/groups/roguecell. If you or a loved one is experiencing thoughts of suicide, help is available. Please call 988 and press 1 for veterans. This line is answered 24/7, so there is always someone to help. And with help comes hope, and hope saves lives. The second of the 503rd Rogue Cell is produced by Brad Peitzig with support from Together with Veterans and is hosted by Sean Davis. Thank you for joining us.